Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This evening, we come to a new place in the gospel story, and it would do us well to pause just for a moment to make sure we're all up to speed as to where we are. Our story started, of course, at Christmas with the coming of God incarnate in the boy Jesus, born of Mary. For 12 days and nights we celebrated. On the 8th day, he was circumcised, given the name above all names. And on the 12th day, last week, we celebrated the arrival of the wise men. And the opening of a relationship with the God of creation, not to the Jews only, but to all of us, to the whole world. And then today, we move forward in our gospel reading. We move forward about 30 years. Today, Jesus is baptized in the river by John. God the Father announces his pleasure, and the public ministry of Jesus the Christ begins. And as it begins, We'd do well to remember the people of Israel and where they are, for they are in dire straits. The massacre of the innocents by Herod trying to kill the king of the Jews years before. Remember him, the story of him slaughtering all the male babies of Bethlehem. It turned out to be one of just many horrors of their oppression. The Israelites are out of patience. They're held captive in their own land, and having all their hope and future silenced under this seemingly endless threat of military occupation. But in every moment in history, God has a few good men and women. Ever since the exit from Eden, there has been hopeless despair. It's been something of a constant. But there has been another constant as well. There has always been at least a few faithful folks. God always has at least a few. And in this moment in history, in this moment of our story of such turmoil, when the promised land itself seemed to be turned into some kind of bizarre house arrest for the whole people of God as they lived under occupation, at this moment, one of God's few was a man whose name was John. Something of a fool by almost all accounts. A man who lived in the wilderness prophesying a coming judgment. A man who dressed in camel's hair and called for repentance. A man whose diet seemed to consist mostly of locusts and honey. Who practiced baptism by water. A voice crying out from the wilderness. But this man was no fool. Just when it seemed like God had finally given up on his people, he was saying something different, something very different. In a moment when it seemed as if there was no future, numbers of faithful Israelites were declining, and along with that decline, the temple was falling into the hands of corrupt leadership, having their own desires met by ever accommodating to those in power. During this time of great stress upon the faithful, he was saying the future was closer than any of them could believe. He was beginning to get traction. Tonight's reading begins with this great line, and the people were filled with expectation. As an aside, I don't want us to miss where we are, at least in part, in this story. There are those who believe, who sincerely believe, the church is on its way out. They look at the church's seeming decline in social power, its drop in numbers and contributions, the graying of its congregations, and they say the end is near for the faith in Jesus. And oh yes, by the way, in rural communities of less than 50,000 people, this decline is supposed to be completely irrecoverable. But we'll say more about this in our annual meeting in a few weeks, but this evening's gospel has at least three things to say to such a situation. First, those following the God of Israel have heard these predictions before, over and over and over before. John heard them, and yet the people came to be filled with expectation. Second, in every generation, in every moment, God at least has a few. He's not about to stop here and now. And third, be on the lookout for those crying out from the wilderness, those crying out from unexpected places, for the Lord is near. He always has been, always shall be. And the Lord still has a few mighty works left in him. it'd be good for us to be filled with expectation. But I don't know about you, but I read that story and I hear I'm supposed to be filled with expectation, and I think that's nice, but I don't really know what that means, and I'm not really sure I could do it. We've all witnessed such pain and sorrow in our years this side of heaven as these things have kind of worn on. And in the midst of our trials, whether personal loss or threats to our parish and our church around the world, there runs a theme. And the theme is an echo of the experience of our people back in the days of John the Baptist. In his days, remember, this future seemed so dark and so final. But there's something funny about the days of John the Baptist. The days of John the Baptist would turn out to also be running right alongside the days of Jesus the Christ. Yes, the one crying out in the wilderness who was baptizing with water was merely a foretaste and a forerunner. He was only the very tip of the iceberg of the change that was coming. For there was one coming after him that even John was not worthy to untie the sandal. There was one coming after who had not baptized with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Whether this evening finds you in the midst of heaviness of a personal loss, with the heaviness of a decline in the societal position of the church, an increase in the irreligion of culture, whether this finds you with the post-holiday blues, or this finds you at the end of another week, of another series of bad days at another bad job, know this. These are the days when the people of Israel heard a voice from the wilderness. And that means these are also the days of Jesus. He's come, and the Holy Spirit is descending upon him. The voice from heaven is proclaiming, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We are so tempted to hear this story merely as a preparation for all that we know is coming from Jesus, as just the starting blocks for his earthly ministry of teaching and healing and crucifixion and resurrection. But it's a lot more than that. The one who was the light coming into the darkness, the one who welcomed the Gentiles to his crib and opened a relationship with God the Father to all the world, is now the one who has seen the heavens open above him and who has been the cause of all those gathered around him to see the same. You see, with this story, with that great eccentric character John, with the voice from heaven, with Jesus himself showing up in public, really, for the first time, we often miss exactly who we are in the story. We're the people of Israel. We've already alluded to that. But more specifically, you and I, those of us who are gathered here at St. Francis on a Saturday night, who are here to worship, we are those who are gathered on the banks of the river, who are watching all of this happen. We're the ones who are seeing and hearing and believing that God is doing something today on the earth. God is filling the world with his glory through his Son. He has sent the one who is greater than all those before, greater even than John the Baptist. And we, you and I, we've seen him. I think this will probably hit us in two places tonight, one of two places. If it resonates with you, then be among those who are filled with expectation. If you hear this voice from heaven and see the dove, and then be ready for what's coming next. The blind are going to see in the next few weeks, the deaf hear, the needy be fed, the naked clothed, the dead raised. But if you're in so much pain for any number of other possible reasons, the pain is so great that this fantastic scene that we're watching on the banks of the River Jordan, if it can't resonate with your heart tonight, then the message is remarkably similar. Be filled with expectation. The pain you're in, the turmoil you sense, the aches you feel, they simply aren't the end of the story. For in the coming days of Jesus' ministry, in the coming pages of the gospel text, in the coming Saturdays we are together, we shall hear the stories of what is to come. The blind are going to see. The deaf will hear. The needy will be fed. And yes, even the dead shall be raised. As the people were filled with expectation, John answered all of them, by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming is more powerful than I. Thanks be to God. In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.